I get some, I've been told you.
Nah, I traded a bunch, I don't know.
You had your experience already.
Yeah, that thing knows me about $98.
Yes, but let me tell you, when you go by there, you ask Miss Bessie if she wants it, and if her tank not full, fill it, until I said so, let her pay you. But if she don't, I will.
All right, now, Bessie, that's the one right at the end of the driveway here, isn't it? That's
yeah.
Straight across.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I thought that was that.
Yeah.
No, she's getting old. Well, now, wasn't there another couple moved in there with her? Or did they move in that other house right there beside her?
They moved down the lane there.
I know these folks moved over in there someplace.
Then that Liza's old house.
Yeah.
Lord Johnson owns it. Owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, this is Thursday. Is this your day off?
No, not necessarily. I just got caught up. Had to come back here and want to check some of these things anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on back then.
Well, I kept thinking I'd call you. But,
now, I didn't check your little tank down here at the trailer.
Yes, it's all right.
I didn't figure you were very much in
it. $3 is gone.
I know that isn't for them.
That, you know, buying it, but it's 10 gallons costs more.
It does, and then it's more trouble trying to pour it in and everything else. It, it does.
She told me one day she wanted if we could get a gallon. And I said, how good is it?
They do get gold.
Isn't that awful?
It is.
Well, and not necessary.
Well, you feel sorry for them. And on the other hand, you can't afford to.
Oh, no.
You can't afford to feel sorry for them, right?
No.
Because they'll, not necessarily Miss Bessie, I don't know this much about it, but they'll take their money and go drink it up or do something when they get it, see?
Oh.
And they don't think about trying to save none to catch a bill that's coming up the end of the week and nothing else. Most of them.
Yeah. What little money they get won't stretch.
Well, that's true, and of course it's hard right now for everybody to live.
It is.
It's taking so much money to live now, so. And especially if you're on a fixed income like these old people are on Social Security and this type of thing, see, that's hard.
Let me tell you, the last two or three times I've been up to Gaswell there in Gainesville, they wasn't busy.
Yeah.
Both of their grease racks was empty.
Uh-huh.
And Smitty, one time, was in there talking to the secretary.
Yeah. Nothing new.
Now, why, how come?
People just haven't got the money for one thing.
Well, all these
that's right. They haven't got it. What? You know, the president will get up on the air, you know, and these big shots, and they tell how good the economy is, and people are making more money than they ever made in their life, you know, and got more.
Yeah.
And get you get out here, though, and talk to these people. And they haven't got it. They're making more money maybe than they ever made in their life. This is true, but everything else is broken so much that it's just...
It don't go far.
It don't go. You take these big labor companies working up there on the union, this type of thing, they're drawing $5, $6, $7 an hour.
Yeah.
And yet they spend all of it.
Fast.
Yeah. Well, you turn around and down here, and if you make $2, $2.50 an hour down here, you're making good money. You know, this is the way they look at it down here. You can't make over. You're going out and go to work by the hour, two and a half miles, all you're going to make, if that much.
Yeah. And how far does that go?
And it don't go because you're paying the same price as people are making $5, $6, and $7.
Yeah.
For what you find. And this is your problem. And I know there's quite a few tourists down here, as usual. You know, there's always a lot of tourists. But the ones that are down here are not spending no money.
Let me tell you. You know the man up there where you were at the Shell station?
Yeah.
He and his wife were out there, both of them nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had more than they could do. And they kept hearing them say they were looking for somebody to help them. And I kept telling them, I said, you know, none of my business. Just don't get more business you can take out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they did? They got one of George Mitchell's little
yeah.
boys. And I'm busy now.
How to run it off.
Had you noticed?
Yeah.
Had you really?
Yeah, I noticed. I told them it would. I said, that'll run your business off. And George do it.
They got to learn.
They got to learn.
The hard way.
Yeah. Well, they come down here from up north. Now, they're real good people. I think
mm-hmm.
they're a nice couple.
No, they are.
See? But they don't know anything about niggers or nigger health or nothing else. As far as they're concerned, all they know about it, I guess, is what they've read in books and magazines and papers, you know, and this type of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess deep down they actually thought we was. Everybody was mistreating them down here, see. And they're going to come in and treat them real nice, you know, and they're going to make a big go of it. But you can't do it. There's no way.
That's the most sullen little boy that ever was, the brother Elsie.
Yeah.
He won't wipe a window. He won't do anything.
Oh, yeah. Just no, you know, you don't want to treat people like that.
Now, that boy, he's got a brother-in-law that's supposed to be coming down and wants to work out there with him. And if we can get him in there and get some help in like that, well, maybe he'll make it, you know, be all right.
Yeah.
Now, his gas volume is up. He's doing all right on gas.
Is he?
Yeah. But his other work's down.
Yeah.
So,
it's,
I don't know.
It's just one, it's just, you see, you had them boys over there.
Yeah.
That, you got a right smart out of them.
Oh, yeah.
You got more than
a lot
most
of
people.
Help. I got a lot of help out of them.
You got more than most people do, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I did.
You know, tell you the truth, Aaron, your boys learned to work.
Yeah, well, that's primarily the reason I got that station to start with.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have nothing for them to do. I was working, see, and for somebody else. I didn't have nothing for them to do. They come home from school in the afternoon, they didn't have a thing to do. We get out there and run poor country, see, and I didn't want that.
No.
Because you turn them loose out here, running up and down the streets and from different house to house, and the first thing you know, they're going to get in mischief.
Mm-hmm.
See.
Well, now, they all stuck around there, didn't they?
Yeah.
And worked when they're there. They wasn't horsing around.
No, they had a job to do. And I'm proud of it in a way. Now, I'm not going to say that's what did all of it, of course. But all three of them can go out here now and make a living for themselves, too.
Yeah.
They can work. They're not scared of it, you know.
Yeah, that's a big thing, isn't it?
That's right. They're not scared of it. And they can go to work. You get disappointed in what they do sometimes and all this, you know. You get a little disgusted, but of course, they got to learn, too. They still got lots to learn.
There's so much
we all
learning,
have.
Isn't it?
We all have, you know, we keep running.
Yeah.
And, by the way, we're fixing to be grandfolk.
Really?
Grandparents, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, start all over again.
Yeah. David called me Thanksgiving Day, and they're expecting one in July sometime.
Yeah.
And then, I guess it was that weekend. Donnie called me, and he and his wife's looking for one in July, too.
Oh,
my
you know.
Goodness, a double heaven
yeah.
July.
There you go.
So.
Where's Donnie?
He's in Atlanta.
Good Lord, they're all scattered?
Oh, yeah, they're all gone.
Nobody around here?
No.
And the other one?
Joe's in Arkansas. In Oklahoma.
He married?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd they all scatter so much?
Well, David's, he married a girl from Indiana, so he went back up there, and Donnie's up in Atlanta going to school. He's still going to college, I see.
Oh, yeah.
And he's working, too, on the side, but he's going to college. And David, of course, is up in Indiana, and Joe's still in service. He's still in the Army.
Oh, I see.
And he's stationed there in Oklahoma.
I'm telling you, you got to go up. What? You take all these big places, anybody working there, seem like what they are concerned about mostly is not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. I know.
They get one little job and they stretch it out like these niggas used to do.
I know.
Now that's what's back of all that?
I don't know. Also, I don't know. That's been the hardest thing in the world that I've had to do is get used to this place down in Wilmore. See, I work for Shell down there, you know him, part time and all when I'm off and this type of thing. See, and it's the hardest thing in the world for me to get used to down there. I'm sending that crew out to do something, and they'll go out, and a lot of times won't even go out there. Care? You think they've gone out to do a job and they haven't even been out there? When they get out there, they don't do nothing.
Why, Aaron?
That's the truth. It's the truth. You hate to say it, see. Yet they all stand around and they all want to gripe because they're not making no money. See? But they're not turning out no work.
Well, now that don't. That's not happening just here.
No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. If you notice it, any place you go into, just like you said a minute ago, they're not interested in selling you nothing. They're not interested in waiting on you. They could more or less, they could care less, really. It looks like, you know, they'd be tickled if you didn't come in. Or they had to get out. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to it is.
Sure thing.
It is.
You think, you know, you see, most of them fellas have worked all their life.
Yeah.
Most of them. Now, how they change so fast?
I don't either. And, well, I'll just show you now for instance down there. As beat up as I am, and done wore out. See, before we're getting out here working, right? But I'll take my truck and I'll go out here and I'll put out, we've got four trucks running out of the plant down there. And I'll go out there in a lot of days and I'll put out more off my one truck than they do off all three of the others.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, I actually do. I don't know, and they're working right there. I got two trucks that don't get out of town. Stays right in town they're working, see. They ought to go out there and put two or three loads off in a day.
Yeah.
They ought to, as many houses there are, you know, and they're that close together and all this stuff. Well, mine's scattered all over the country out here, see.
Yeah.
Well, I left there at 9:30 this morning, about 9:45, I guess, when I left the plants this morning. And, I've already put out six, right about 800 gallons today.
Yeah.
Right about 800 gallons. I got about 200 gallons left on the truck.
Then you'll go on back.
Then I'll go back to plant.
What makes them kerosene stoves so costly, Aaron?
Well, now I really don't know. Of course, everything's high.
Yeah.
And,
well, they really start high, don't they?
Yeah.
This little thing, you know, kind of, I've paid $7 for it at the auction.
Yeah.
But the others, and I ought to burn something that will burn more than fuel.
Yeah.
And not let it go out the chain.
Well, that's right. What you need something that'll circulate it, you know, more. I don't know. They're all high. Excuse me. I'll go ahead and put it in the party before I forget it. No problem. They're all high.
You know, like them little old wood heaters. Now, the price of them, you know, it's curious how the price varies. One fella I know was looking for one. And he went to three places. One of them was Johnny Palmer's, one of Mr. Thrasher's, and the other one I forget. The first one, they wanted $7 to $9 for it. You know the little wood heaters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And John Palmer won $6 to $9. And Mr. Thrasher, I thought, would have been the highest. And all he wanted was $50.
Huh.
And it's all the same heater.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know.
But that don't account, that margin doesn't account for all of it, you know.
No, no.
$50 is still pretty high.
Yeah.
Now, when they built his house down here, Ben Wright. Ben bought that little wood heater from Mr. Palmer, and he paid him $35 for it then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's doubled.
Yeah.
Just exactly doubled.
Yeah. Well, those heaters, one like I showed you, you know, that diesel deal
uh-huh.
they had down there burnt. But it jumped this year. It was sold for $329 last year, and it jumped to $349 this time.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't us jumping it. That's what they just increased the price that much on what we can buy them for, see.
Yeah.
Made that much of an increase. And, Then they tell us now that the dollars is a lot cheaper than almost anybody in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we're not trying. We're not in the stove business. We're not really pushing to sell them. But we want the fuel business, of course.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we're carrying the heaters. But that same heater we're selling for $349. They tell me that Ocala Heating and Roofing, I mean Ocala Heating and Air Conditioning handles it too, same stove. And there's somebody else down there handling it. And they're getting over $400 for that same heater we're selling for $349.
Amen.
They're getting over $400 for it. Tanks like you've got out here, we're selling for, of course they keep going up all the time too, like everything else. They're up $38.95 now for a tank and stand. And Texaco's got them down there. That's almost the same tank. It's a little bit different design, but about the same tank. And they're getting $49.50 for it.
Yeah. What did I pay for this one?
Oh, this one here, when you bought it, was probably
$28.95. It was way down below.
Yeah. They sold way down in there for a long time, $26.95. I have sold them $24.95.
Mm-hmm.
And then they jumped up and just kept going up a little bit every year, every time you order them.
You never had any dealings down there with Mr. Palmer?
Not a whole lot. I stop in there now every once in a while and talk to him a little bit.
Yes. Well, you know, he's nice to talk to. And
yeah.
He, you know, a lot of the Winds trades going down there. These fellas down there at Winds are so... Hadn't any of them got any personality at all.
No.
And I think Henry saw the board down there. He's not very lively like he used to be. And a lot of it's gone down there, Johnny Palmer. And I don't know what made me think of this. You know, Henry and old Rob Wood, they had dealt with all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew it. They knew how to put in posts and the water system and put in pumps. They done it themselves, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mr. Palmer knows anything about anything he sells.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
And all he's had down there, see, he didn't start down there at World War II.
No, I know it.
But that's still a pretty long time, isn't it? All he's had down there is the nigger trade.
Yeah.
And he made money, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he made money. Because if you notice him on a lot of his stuff, he's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
But 90% of it's going to be sold on credit. And you got to wait for his money and
yeah.
Hunt for it and run him down and everything else to get it. See?
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons for it.
Yeah.
Of course, now another thing with Mr. Palmer, he'll get down and dicker with you. He'll trade with you.
Oh, will he?
Or he'll horse trade with you.
Oh, will he?
Yeah, that's one reason he's got as much business as he's got.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he'll mess around with you. Of course, Mr. Palmer's a pretty good judger, somebody.
Yeah.
When you walk in there and he's talking
yeah.
to you. He knows pretty well what he can do and what he can't do, see.
Yeah.
And
well,
a lot of times he'll price it accordingly that way, see, but he knows pretty well what he can do.
Well, what would you bargain with him on? Say that I don't buy too much. You see them fence posts. They ain't much in them. They cost
no.
him so much to get them there.
I know what.
And if you bought 1,000, you might bargain with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Horse trade.
Well, that's your trouble. See, I mean, as how many you going to buy and this type of thing. But
that's
now cool. I know he does that in some. Though.
Take that store 6 to 9 that Mr. Tracy sells for 50. That you could.
Yeah.
Work on that a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But you couldn't get it down that much.
Well, it just depends on what. Kind of mood he was in. Just depending on what kind of mood he's in. You might talk him into it. Thought he's probably buying him the cheapest thrasher yet.
Maybe. My notion is he'd buy him cheaper.
Probably.
Because he got more energy than
yeah.
Mr. Thrasher. Well, I enjoyed the visit there.
Yes, sir, I did too, but I'm going to have to run. I still got quite a bit to do, and I'll have to get back in there and do some work in the office as soon as too. Well, we'll see you.
All right. If Miss Bess is not fulfilled for her, and if she hadn't got the money, you just charge it to her. But
right.
I'll stand for it.
And what is her last name? Bessie what?
Bessie Jackson.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop with it.
Now that's the end of the visit with Aaron. This Thursday morning, 9th of December, 71. And this is the beginning of Cookie, Thursday after supper, 9th of December, 71.
I had coffee. I had my supper.
Did you use another little cup of coffee?
No, I don't. I've had all I need.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm about to just break my neck sitting over here. I had the Miller came today with a kerosene and put $15 worth in. We've spent $15 for fuel in all this hot weather.
We can't figure when we've had it on. Last night.
Gosh, $15. Spent $3.60.
$3.60.
Two little tanks of gas is all I burnt this whole livelong winter. And I brought in my third load of wood today and unloaded it.
Where did you unload it?
At my house.
You didn't get that heater?
I'm going to buy that heater tomorrow evening.
Mr. Sasha?
Right.
Miller said this morning that, I asked him about Mr. Palmer. I said, would he know anything much about that stuff? He didn't think he did. But he said he'd heart straighten. Well, I said, I don't know what I buy that I could horse straight on. By them fence posts, not much you can do about fence posts. Cost him so much. And then I thought about that stove. But like you said, $69 down to 50 is way down, isn't it?
It sure is. I tell you, it takes an awful big Jew to do a man that far.
And it's the same stove?
Same stove. Same stove.
Well, I'd say
I don't want no coffee, guy. I'm coffee logged.
Coffee logged?
I'm coffee logged. All I need is some advice.
I guess you better take coffee. You're over here.
No, I've got a problem. I've got to get it off my shoulders.
You got
it come about today. I heard about it today, but it's been brewing for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Frank. Here's my problem. And I'll tell you what kind of a problem it is. He told his boss that he was leaving this weekend, tomorrow night, for Tennessee.
And Tennessee?
Yes. His boss came to me and asked me if I knew about it. I said, no, I don't. Well, he said, I thought you should know about it. He said, he told me that he was going to Tennessee with his girlfriend. Well, I do know that they are leaving tomorrow night. All right. I haven't said a thing. I haven't said a word to the boy. No way, shape, form, or fashion in that manner. And I found out today that he's been skipping school for 2 weeks. And what I wonder, see, he's not 18 years old yet. I wonder, should I talk to him, or should I let him run his race and have the officials to bring him back, along with the man that takes him out of the state of Florida? That's got me up a tree.
I really a tree.
I don't know what to do. You see, if I go ahead and jump him now, see. Okay. That's going to cause hard feelings between him and his boss, between me and his boss, more or less, between me and this fellow that he's going with. So it's going to create a problem if I go ahead now. Whereas if it may be wind, he may just be talking. Whether I should let him go ahead and if he does intend to go, just let him go. And then take legal action.
I don't think you get anywhere with legal action. Anybody.
Well, is he planning just to take, you think, just to take a trip or just go up there and stay?
No, he's mad with all of us. He plans to go stay. He won't even speak to me. He ignores anything I say. If I get to talk to him, I've got to manhandle him again. And I might get left. I might lose my temper. And I don't want to.
Well, it looks like looks like he's listening to somebody in the family. Could he be, you know, they always, you know, play one against another.
Guy, he'd listen to you more than he would me. He would. Really and truly, he would.
Well, you know, that Sunday afternoon, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, we were all down there plowing and carrying on. It looks like there wasn't a worry in the world.
That's right.
Guy said, he looked like old Frank was sort of taking hold.
He was happy. And
that was a nice time. My chaps came out, you see, Old Linda was down there taking pictures. Old Screwball Mark was down there helping out and everything. And you had them horses out and scattering seed. They were doing a little of everything down there.
And Mark said he learned more that afternoon than he had ever since he'd been over Sunshine.
That's right, yeah.
And he was just the proud of Frank. He didn't know what to do. Mark was just looking up to Frank.
Yes.
He was looking up to that boy. He said,
yeah,
if I could just do like Frank.
Well, now that boy, I don't care. He can work.
Yeah.
But he's just at that stage. So he's
that age.
Just at that age where he thinks he knows. Nobody knows nothing but him.
Oh, they can get it bad, can't they?
Oh, he's got the worst kind. He's got the worst kind.
Yes. They just don't want to hear nothing.
Now, he got along good till about a month ago, actually. After he came back from up home.
Yeah.
So he got off on the wrong foot last spring.
Yeah.
Bad. He was bad, just like he is now. Tearing up everything he got his fingers on.
Well, who is this fella going to Tennessee?
Wilbur Paul, P-A-W-L. He's a divorcee, he's separated. Part of his family's here, part of him somewhere else, and part of him someplace else. And the bad part about it, the girl, that 16-year-old girl is here.
Oh.
And that's it. But I've checked with the sheriff's department. And I can have him brought back.
Yeah.
I can have him brought back. And that is punishable up to 5 years, from 1 to 5 years in prison.
Oh, it is.
For
Taking minors?
Taking minors out of the state without the parents' consent.
Is that right?
That is right. Absolutely, that is right. It sure is.
Well, that's a good law.
It sure is. If it was enforced a lot more, they wouldn't be so much of this stuff. If it was checked at these checkpoints, where they check if you you're allowed to take 5 bushel of oranges, and if you got 6 bushels, you got to dump one of them over the hill. If a law like that was enforced a lot more than stupid laws like that, the country would be a lot better off.
Frank's just 16.
That's right.
Well, we're doing good to talk to Wilbur.
I don't know.
You know him?
Yes, I know him. He's hard-headed.
Yeah.
He's touchy.
Yeah. That's the reason he's in the shape he's in.
That's right. I might go talk to him and lose one of my horses before sunrise in the morning. That's the type of man he is.
Oh.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Now, tell me, is that right?
That's right. I just learned that just in the last 2 weeks.
How did you find out?
Mr. Ashmore.
Yeah.
Says he's no good. He said he's trash under your feet. Let him alone.
And of all people, Franklin has to get in with that.
That's right.
I'm a damn. Well, that don't show good judgment, couldn't
it? Of all of these nice students that come out here.
Yeah.
And make over Frank like they have.
Yeah.
Well, they really have.
And then Frank stooped that low I tell you, it makes me feel lower than a snake's belly. It does. It makes me feel like my life has just been thrown away from in the past.
Well, it does.
It really does. I'd hate to think that I'd have to own people like that as my kin. I would.
Now you just got on to that.
Just in the past 2 weeks. It's been brewing. I've been holding it in.
Yeah.
And I've been doing an awful lot of checking that Frank don't know about.
They don't realize how easy it is for the adults to check up on them. I don't guess they do. I know they don't.
He don't know that I know that he was out racing that car here about 3 weeks ago. And the fella he was racing with got caught doing 120 miles an hour. And Frank ran off from him. I know that Cadillac will run. That's how I come him to blow it up after he done the valve job on it.
Be so nice having back 15 when you couldn't drive a car.
You don't drive a car that long. No. You got one more day of grace. One more. Tomorrow's his day. He's either going to straighten up and be a man or else. Because I done got him staked out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I hate to do it. Really, I do. I hate to do it. But the Sheriff's Department in Lottsville County thinks so much of Laura that when she drove into Gainesville the other morning after taking all that medicine to get her teeth pulled, the Sheriff's Department followed her in case she would have an accident. They did. And they follow her home time and time again. For an example, she was going home, and she had got a gift from one of her patients that had went home. She forgot it at the hospital. And she turned around at the Jiffy store on Hawthorne Road at 56th Street. Well, yeah, she turned around and went back to the hospital to get that gift. All right, the sheriff was sitting there. And he'd been watching her go by every night at the same time. Well, when she turned around and went back to town, he stopped her. He asked her, he said, "Honey, what's the matter?" She said, "I just forgot a gift that I got today at the hospital. I'm about to get it." Well, he said, "I was wondering." He said, "I never did see you stop or turn around. And I've been watching you for months." But they watch that girl from the time she leaves the hospital until she gets home at night. Well, that's their duty. But tomorrow evening, Frank don't know it, but there'll be a plain car follow him home tomorrow evening.
Well, now that's the first thing you've said that I can follow. Yes. Somebody outside the family.
The Sheriff's Department will follow him home tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
In a plain car. All right. If he don't go straight home, I'll know about it. And if he don't go straight home, when I get home, I'll have the keys to that Cadillac. I'll have the keys to that Cadillac. And he'll boy out some more shoe sole leather. And I mean exactly that.
Oh, that'll pinch.
I mean exactly that. He don't drive nothing.
Now, when is he supposed to go to Tennessee?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
That's the weekend, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Because he skipped school for 2 weeks. And I caught him yesterday. I caught him myself. He don't get out of school for 15 minutes till 12. I mean, his classes don't turn out till 15 till 12. That gives him an hour and 15 minutes to get to work, which is plenty of time. Well, at 20 minutes after 11, I saw him. About 20 and 25 minutes after 11, he was at Prairie Creek going into Gainesville. Because I was bringing Laura home. I picked Laura up at 11 o'clock at the doctor's office and brought her in, took her in home.
Yeah.
He came in tonight, sit down and eat supper. Didn't say a word to nobody.
Nobody.
No. Didn't say a word. Got up, went on back outside. Looked in my truck for the keys, looked to play a tape, and they wasn't in there. And the tape player won't play unless the ignition's on. So he shut my truck door and walked on off. And I told Helen, I said, I'll be back before you have to go to work.
Yeah.
Well, it takes all the family together and try to keep the children straight. I tell you.
Just when you think there's so much that you don't get around to doing that you ought to be doing, and then your own family gets all crossed up. But you know, that happens in all the families. You just ask for it. All of them I know, you see. Why, look at this boy, the pigtail. He has been more worrisome than from what little I hear. See, I don't hear much. Just sit there and talk to them the way he did to you. You know they pull their hair. You know they did.
Well, you know, Haven said that night you were sick. Why, she said Mark wouldn't know how to get the telephone. Mark wouldn't know. So maybe he wouldn't know how to do anything, she said. We knew we had to come and do something. Because he... So...
Well, you see, I'd go do it myself if they hadn't come.
Oh,
shoot. Go with Robert. Cooking? Let me tell you, I've been thinking about that ever since. Just gets mind off some of these things. Last night. Now that's brand new to me. I didn't know they could let Bubba stand up like that. We're just a local.
Yeah.
And he didn't offer to kick him, really. He just twitched, you might say. I wasn't up that close. I got away, you see. I didn't, see. Just Jim and Suzanne. Jim was there.
Just Suzanne. She held him.
Well... You take him little kegs. If you got a good sharp knife, like that, and it's over. If you can see, and you're not so nervous.
But you were telling me you had seen or done a horse. Rowdy.
Rowdy.
With a twitch.
With a twitch on his nose. And standing in the barn. And they worked on him standing up.
He didn't let on?
Daddy said he wasn't no problem.
No cords? Oh, that was just for the blood.
Yeah.
And that's the way people have always done it.
Oh, yeah. That's where old Dr. Drake does them all the time. I mean, mean ones. Put a twist on their nose. You get on that twist hard enough, they forget about what's happening behind and think about that nose.
Right. One person hold it?
Yeah.
Gosh, I wouldn't want to work on the back end of a horse that can kick. I saw him do that.
Well, Doctor, who?
Drake.
Up your country?
Yeah. He's dead now.
And you've seen him do it?
I saw him do it, yeah. A little Charlie horse that he had, that I broke 2 summers before I come to Florida. That's where he did him.
Now, what were we talking about? Your daddy's stables, stalls.
Yeah.
8 by 16.
No. 6 by 10. 6 foot wide and 10 foot deep, long.
And in the back, they got all them forks there for the harness?
For the harness. And collars.
Right there in the stall.
Right there in the stall. Sure has.
And he feeds them, he ties them up.
Ties them up. That's right.
About 30 inches.
About 30, 20, 28, 30, something like that. Not that long. Just far enough for them to reach from the center of the manger to the other, over there and get their hay. Back over to this side. Now that's it. And get up in the feed box and eat 2 feet.
Well, now, the feed box not high.
The feed box is level with the top of the manger.
About like this table?
Well, it's higher than that.
Yeah, it'd be higher than that.
Yeah.
Well, now, he doesn't keep them tied up at night.
Yes, ma'am.
At night?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yes, ma'am.
In their stall.
In their stall.
That same length.
And they lay down? They sure do.
Now that's on the halter feed, that's not around the neck.
That's right, that's up from the halter. Just like I've got on Rowdy and Babe now.
Yeah.
Daddy made mention, saw them halters in the picture. They come out of the plane. Well, he said, you bought new halters for your horses.
Yeah.
I said, yeah.
And he don't let his fertilizer manure build up.
No. Too hard on him to get it out one time. And after he lets it build up for so long, it's just too hard on him. And it takes too long.
He doesn't use a spreader?
He got a spreader now, but years ago, we didn't used to have.
And he didn't have to cut it in, and cows would just tromp it in.
They just tromp it in. Just make a mud hole out of the matter. And that orchard grass and clover and alfalfa and his timothy and fescue and all that kind of, it'd come right on back strong the next spring.
All that stuff's got good roots, haven't they?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he just gets one of them big forks and just scatters it.
Regular 5-prong pitchfork. Like we got here.
Oh, is that all?
That's all.
I haven't heard from Leonard.
You haven't? I haven't saw him either. I haven't even saw Sharon. Nor Polly.
I was over there all afternoon. And he's due to leave tomorrow.
Right.
Now, what did you say about cooking up something?
A weekend or so after they come back on Saturday evening, after school starts back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cook up a ham and baked beans and potato salad and green salad. I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put pineapple and clove on that ham. I'm gonna bake it.
And the thing of it is, what got me up there where you come from, the men don't cook.
Not unless they absolutely have to. It's got to be a have to case.
Now you take out a lot of places you go out there, they'll have these, they'll cook outside.
Yeah.
And some of them, you see, cook a whole stag supper and things like that.
Oh yeah.
Some people, but not up there where you come from.
No, uh-uh.
Ain't any of the men up there could see.
But I'm Leonard and his roommate and Sharon and her roommate and all, there's going to be about 12, 14 of the students up there that they're best friends, real close friends, you know, going to come out and we're just going to have a big feed.
Yeah, like that. Oh, they'll take that in.
And I think that's going to promote something, guys. I think it will.
They do better when they don't come by themselves.
And they do better when they don't come in such large groups.
Yeah.
You take 40 or 50 drove in out here, would come out here, nobody couldn't understand nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you take 12, 14, 16, 18 at the most come out here, everybody could understand each other and understand what was going on.
Yeah. Faye?
Yes.
I want you to help me now. I want to get this straight. You can do it now. You didn't learn to cook at home.
No. I did not. I couldn't boil water without burning before I left home. But after I went in the Army and came back, and well, I started before then. I started working at the pub on Coyer Street, Charleston. That's where I was a cook. I worked at Thomas Fields for a while, and I got tired of that. I went to work at the pub as short order cook. I worked there for 7 or 8 months.
In Charleston.
In Charleston, West Virginia.
Yes.
From 11 o'clock until 3 o'clock. I made more money from 11 to 3 than I did from 8 to 5 working for Thomas Fields.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did that work out?
They paid me $35 a week for a short order cook.
From 11 till 3?
11 till 3. And I was getting $25 a week from Thomas Fields, working from 8 to 5.
Yeah. Now, at the pub, they didn't write out anything.
No. They yelled out. They wanted a ham on rye, or a burger all the way, or a burger with tomato, or a burger in a cup of mud. Why?
And you had to remember that and send it out there for them.
That's right.
And they yelled to you while you was cooking something else over
there. That's
right. Yeah.
I had as high as 10, 12 orders on the grill one time.
Cookie, why don't you just cook for us?
I could.
I never did know why women had to do all the cooking.
About the second weekend, January. I'm gonna cook up at that bunch of junk over at the trailer. I'm gonna do it all myself now.
You are.
I'm gonna do it every bit. I'm gonna have baked beans and ham and potato salad and I don't know, I might even have hot biscuits.
Cookie?
That's right.
You do that too?
Yeah.
Well, gee whiz.
Yeah.
Big or little?
Big biscuits. Big ones that teacup. That size that teacup.
Yeah. Yes, two story. Double joint.
Then after I went in the Army and came back out, well, I got married. Helen was sick for a year. I mean, she couldn't even get up. I worked day and night. I come out of the Army weighing 179 pounds. I went to work at Charleston Transit Company at night, gassing up buses. That's all I done was gas up them buses. And I went home 7 o'clock of the morning. And by golly, I had the housework to do, I had the cooking to do. Then after Laura was born, I had the diapers to wash and everything.
For a year?
For a solid year. And I got down to where I weighed 125 pounds, and it's just hard for me to get above that and stay above very long.
Something come along all the time, don't it?
It tears me up.
Yes, sir. I was playing. that makes me, in my little cooking, I cook you some oatmeal sometimes.
Well, you know, the best cooks in the world are men. All the great cooks are men, really. The chefs, you know, the Julia Child.
End of Channel 2, right, and a continuation of Visual Cookie. This Thursday after supper, the 9th of December, 71. End of Channel 2, right, and a continuation of Visit with a Cookie. This Thursday after supper, the 9th of December, 71. The end of Channel 2, right, and a continuation of Visit with Cookie. This Thursday after supper, the 9th of December, 71. Channel 2, right. The end of Channel 2, right, and continuation of Visit with Cookie. This Thursday after supper, the 9th of December, 71.